Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We ran into some technical difficulties.
Hi,
there.
I'm a balloon. Bye.
Yeah. Well, listen. Do I hear the coach?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah. Hey, oh, my God. He's there. Fantastic.
Sorry, coach. We're battling some technical difficulties.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dan Lanning. Yeah, we have some weird phone lines in here, but good to talk to you. How was the bye week?
Yeah, it was good. It's good. We got some good stuff accomplished. We were able to knock out some recruiting, some traveling during the process, and develop on some stuff with our guys as well, but it's been good.
How nice at this time of the year, like the bumps and bruises, or is it more of a preparation thing, getting the extra week off?
Combination. I mean, I think the reset is always good, and recruiting's still the lifeblood of your program, you know, thinking about what's next and who you're going to have on your team next. So it's important to have some time chopped out that you can utilize for that.
Is that the hardest, like going from where you're at Georgia to now this being the head coach, has that been the hardest thing, is that you just, it feels like the roster building, unlike in like the NFL, it feels like the roster building never stops in college.
Yeah, and it never really stopped there either. But it's different now that you have a picture of the entire, yeah, you know, the entire program. And it's certainly different in today's climate with, you know, how transitional things can be, for sure.
How have you prepared for the pink locker rooms?
I showed a picture to our team. I was like, hey, guys, the locker room's pink. Is that a big deal? Like, do you guys want me to paint it? Do you want me to cover it up? Are you guys going to be able to handle that? You guys all men? Okay, cool. Yeah. And then we just kind of kept moving.
Yeah.
So I've been, you know, I've actually been here before. I think when I was a GA at Pitt, I'm pretty sure we put like a bunch of like paper all over the walls. And I mean, it is what it is. It's pink, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it does seem like a
good
weird
idea. Good idea by them. You know, maybe it does something. It means we're talking about it on the radio instead of worried about, you know, stopping their quarterback or figuring out how to block their D-line. So,
true.
I'll ask a football question then. How do you run a cover eight with eight guys in coverage all the time but still be, like, the number one rushing defense?
What do you mean specifically?
Well, they do this thing where they're basically in nickel the entire time. No big plays. Doesn't feel like they're super aggressive when I look at them. But of course, I'm not breaking down every film. But they're so fundamentally sound. No one really runs the ball on them real well.
No, I mean it starts up front with them. They strike blocks extremely well, and I tell you that the guys in coverage for them are aggressive run fitters. You know, so those guys show up in the run fit. They understand where they fit, and they understand how to slow it down. They keep the linebackers clean. You know, their D linemen eat up too. So they get free hats to the ball and do a really good job of it.
How much is it like teaching like your guys to be patient too? Because it also feels like one of their strategies is if you do score against them, it's going to take you 9 minutes and they're going to make you go 15 plays. When you watch, do you find some teams that it's hard to be patient like that, that maybe some people get impatient against that style of D?
Well, you know, it's certainly a team that can be tough. We want to take shots and opportunities. You know, you look at film, like, okay, well, we're just going to throw this one-on-one outside to this, you know, to this corner. And when it doesn't get complete, guess what? It's second and 10. So they're good at making you feel like, okay, here's this. And the reality is it just doesn't happen very often. They do a good job and they're sound in coverage. So you can't press. You got to make sure you stay on schedule and keep the ball moving forward and then kind of take what's given to you. And then if you get an opportunity to hit explosive, you take advantage of it.
So you said you've been there before. Was that, you said, with Pitt?
Yeah, when I was at Pitt, my first year in college ball, and it was an unbelievable environment. We were actually ahead all the way until the fourth quarter, and then they made an amazing comeback. That crowd was completely silent, and then they came back, and they were really loud. They were really loud. It was an awesome setup.
How much do you watch the college football playoff rankings, and how much do you talk about that stuff with the team?
None with the team, and I don't really watch it. The only time I ever spend talking about it is when I'm talking with guys like you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of it matters. I mean, it doesn't matter yet, but it will matter in the end. And style points could come into play, right? I mean, is that something you think about?
Mm-hmm. Not yet. Like, I just here's what I know. Win. If we win, the rest takes care of itself. Now, let's say we lost, then maybe we start wearing like confetti and doing some style point stuff and start running like double trick reverses and, and that. But like right now, the goal is win, right? I'm not super concerned with style points. If we win, the rest takes care of itself. But if you have the ability to not leave it up to human error, right, as long as you win.
Yeah, it's like one of those things too. Like, you can't control it. You guys have a huge win at Penn State and then, you know, get a quarterback hurt and Penn State's season kind of, you know, goes awry, and now all of a sudden no one gives you any credit for winning that game.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'm not worried about what anybody else thinks. Again, if we go take care of business, the rest takes care of itself. So I know we're in a good conference. We're going to be playing three ranked teams before the season's done. So, yeah. Like I said, go take care of business. The rest will handle itself.
And that's what I would assume, right? This four-game stretch you have, because Minnesota's no slouch either, this is by far the toughest stretch of the season, is it not?
Oh, yeah. I think we got a great group of teams playing, you know, and this is where you want to be playing your best football, too. So two really tough road games, you know, four teams that are all really good, you know, playing Minnesota off a short week after they had a bye week before us. So there's plenty of adversity and plenty of tough situations for us to face.
This is Dan Lanning with us here on The Fan, Oregon, Iowa, here on The Fan on Saturday. You're obviously very much a we'll play whoever's on our schedule guy. Control the controllables, but to some extent you can control that. How much do you talk to the AD about scheduling non-conference games? Do you prefer bigger non-conference games? Like, what is your philosophy on that?
Yeah, I actually just got a text message a second ago. You know, it's interesting. I have very little to do with like the last 3 years of scheduling, right? Because they plan these out 4 or 5 years in advance. You know, one that I've been clear on, I always like the opportunity to play Oregon State. I think that's good for them and good for us. Just, you know, especially when you play in our conference, the proximity of games, you know, the opportunity to have a team that's going to be close, that's a rivalry that matters. But there haven't been a ton of situations or decisions that I've got the opportunity to make yet. Like, we're further down the road. It's more like 2030 and 2031 or 2029. So, when it comes up, I'll address it. I want to play good teams. I want to play teams that challenge our team. But I think every one of them are going to look differently at the situation. You got to figure out who's willing to play you as well.
Yeah, I mean, how much of that is – it's interesting you say that. Have to be find someone willing to play you. Do you know, like, I mean, does the AD come and talk to you about, like, potential teams and then the negotiation kind of happen from there?
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it works. I mean, I'm not really worried about it right now, but, yeah, that's kind of how it works.
All right, I do want to ask you then about something that maybe you do worry about or don't. At what point – do you wear a jacket? I was fascinated with the choice of the cotton sweatshirt in the downpour. That's 40 degrees, and yet you still held the line. Iowa's supposed to be in the 30s or 40s. Do we go cotton sweatshirt again?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, like, I don't get to play, so it's kind of like my way to, I guess, to feel like I'm in the fight with the players a little bit. I don't know. Yeah, it's probably just a mind game I'm playing with myself a little bit. But
Yeah. So it's supposed to rain there. I mean, will you change at halftime if it's as wet?
I didn't last game. No, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not. Who cares? Like, I don't know. I want to be out there with our players on the field and go to work. And
All right.
I don't know. We haven't had that many rain games since I've been here. So if it starts happening every week, maybe at some point I should do something different. But now,
do you pick what you wear before the game, or like, do you have the choice of a jacket or a vest? Or I know you're not a big hat guy.
Yeah. There's some stuff sitting in my locker. I almost always kind of pick the same thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So it's there for you if you need it.
Well, these are the sort of things
We got a great equipment staff. I mean, they tried to get me to throw some stuff on last game a couple times, and you know, I just didn't feel like doing it.
Would you ever throw on a beanie?
Probably not. I mean, but I'm not going to say never. But yeah, probably not.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. This is what people like us, these idiots that sit around, we have nothing better to do. These are the things that we have to discuss because we're all like, man.
Yeah, these big decisions.
Yeah, big decisions.
Well, you guys get it though, right? Like, your players are out there battling and you're like, okay, let's be tough. I don't know. Yeah. I mean.
Well, it's like the old lineman thing. Like, when I played, we couldn't wear sleeves. That was a source of pride. No matter how cold it got, you just couldn't, like, we would not let each other wear sleeves. You put Vaseline on your arms maybe, but God forbid you wore sleeves.
Right.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
All right. Have you ever been in a big snow game ever?
I mean, I've been in a few, but nothing like crazy insane. Had one at Pitt, had one in high, had a few in high school, but nothing crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Were you trick-or-treating with the kids? Did the kids even go trick-or-treating this year?
No, I mean, yeah, they did some trick-or-treating. I was on the road recruiting, so okay. I was traveling. I made it to, I guess, four states on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, so a little bit of traveling. So wow. Didn't get to do the trick-or-treating. But okay. Got back Saturday night about 8:30, and most of the games were over at that point. And got to watch a little bit of that baseball game, though.
At the very end.
I got back just in time to catch the end of that baseball game, which is pretty cool.
Dude, we got to ask now. Were you going West Coast, or were you going, were you rooting a little north of the border?
It felt like there weren't a lot of great options, so I was going America. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was going, let's go Dodgers. Yeah. And But I really didn't care. I was excited about a good game.
You a Royals fan?
In my mind, I can't really, cheer for Canada, right?
Right.
I mean,
no, that's right. But with the Dodgers, you're kind of rooting for Japan.
Yeah.
So it's
which is cool too. That's cool. How different is that? I mean, unbelievable play and what a crazy inning. A crazy last couple innings. A lot of fun to watch. Not a baseball fan. That's literally the amount of baseball. Oh. If I'm not watching the Oregon Ducks baseball team, like that's the most baseball I've seen. I probably watched two innings this year.
So you didn't grow up a Royals fan?
I'm a Royals fan. I grew up watching George Brett, and I'm a big Bo Jackson fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely a Royals fan. But you just don't have time to pay attention to other sports, really. Yeah. Baseball kind of gets big and important whenever football is big and important. So I don't really do both.
Well, if you're going to pick two innings to watch, those were two innings to watch. It was like one of the. Be the best
it
World Series
I've
ever seen.
Made me a baseball fan. Are you guys? In fact, speaking of baseball, do you know much about this banana ball stuff going on in Savannah?
Oh yeah, dude, Georgia? it's like sweeping the country. Like they sell out every stadium, every major league stadium. It's
fantastic.
It's the end all to be all.
You know they're coming out to Eugene next year.
Yeah.
So I was flipping through a documentary last night with my boys, and we were watching a little bit of it. It's pretty impressive, man. It's pretty cool.
Now the question becomes: as the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, will you be involved? Will you reach out to be a part of Banana Bowl?
Well, I won't reach out, but I'd welcome the opportunity to be around it a little bit. I'm excited to see how it plays out. Well, are they going to play in Austin? Are they going to play in the? Do you guys know how it works?
No, they're at Autzen.
I would assume they're Autzen because they play big stadiums.
Yeah, they'll pack it.
Yeah.
So
like they played a NASCAR venue, I think, and if I'm not, it was like 100,000 people. So they're playing major league stadiums. They're playing everything. I mean, it's kind of one of the hottest tickets in sports right now.
Let's go. That's awesome, man. The way this guy started this company is pretty awesome.
Yeah, he sold everything, didn't he? Or like. Life savings.
Sold their house just to make it happen. So pretty cool.
Well, there's got to be some sort of Nike Oregon banana collab when they come to Eugene. There's going to be exclusive merch.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. Yeah, we need to run that up the line.
All right, sir. Have safe travels and good luck in Iowa. Thank you.
All right, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Dan Lanning, Oregon coach.
I can confirm he will not be wearing a jacket and/or. I loved the beanie. He's like, no.
Yeah, he just doesn't care.
No.
He really does not care.
Again, we've learned being sick is a choice, being cold and wet also a choice.
Although we call him out on the being sick thing.
Yeah.
Because there's, I don't know which game it was, but one of the games here, he comes on every Thursday.
Yeah, he had a cold.
He clearly was sick.
And yet he was still powering through this.
Yeah, he was, but it's not a choice. Like he didn't.
I beg to differ.
You know. He's like, yeah. He's like, maybe I pounded a whole thing of Robitussin. Come on.
That man's an animal.
He is an animal.
I
find it so odd, though, that when it's raining like that, you won't just put on a jacket.
Yeah. No, won't do it.
I mean,
the jacket.
There's no harm in putting on.
And we've confirmed the jacket is in the locker. They were trying to get him to wear the jacket, and he said, nay.
Yeah. He's an animal.
He's just that.
You're
that
right.
He's just. It's the ultimate competitor.
All right, Dan Lanning. Each Thursday at 4 here on the Fan, brought to you by Philbrook Law. In football, you need a great coach. In life, after an accident, you need a great lawyer. That's why you need Philbrook Law, accident and injury attorneys. Philbrook-Law.com. Your local law team. The Dan Lanning postgame show is coming up next. I have the hypothetical point spread. If Oregon played Ohio State.
Oh, this is fun.
fun game.
Look into the crystal ball.
NFG, new fun game.
I'm going to say off the top of my head, I'm going to say
what do you think?
4.5.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that coming up next here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Thanks to Dan Lanning for the time. Gracious time. So the point spread on this game, 6.5, it's just kind of sitting right there.
Yeah.
Oregon is favored. Although I think I saw Herb Street talking to Pat McAfee today.
Yeah.
And he said that he thinks Oregon's going to lose.
There's a lot of the national folks that are kind of poking around this, where this has become, you know, stuff becomes sexy, upsets, kind of groupthink. And it does feel like a lot of the national pundits are pointing to this one is maybe one where they trip. One, Oregon the last couple of weeks hasn't necessarily, with the exception of Rutgers, hasn't looked that good. The shine has come off of the Penn State thing. People are pointing to the Iowa-Indiana game. Iowa actually had a big offensive explosion against Minnesota. You know, so, you know, narratives, and you kind of want to build up these big games. And so I think that's kind of become a thing.
I mean, I don't know if it's narrative as much as it is like what people are seeing. It's like Oregon's offense has not looked great. Iowa has looked great. The thing about Iowa that's so weird is it's just so hard to pick them. You know they're good, right? But it's just so hard to pick them with an offense like that.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and they haven't, I think they're now like against top 25 teams. They're like
0-11. They're 0-11 in their last 11 games against ranked opponents.
Yeah. These are games that Iowa, you know, it's just, they just haven't won. They're in a lot of these games. Again, I go back, Indiana at home. That was a tie game with about 2.5 to play, and Iowa was kicking a field goal to try to win that game or at least go up. And
yeah, you know what's funny?
And it went south, and next thing you know, Indiana scoring, and thanks for coming.
What's funny is you look at the, and you know, the whole transitive property thing is just it's not a good way
to look at
football at all.
No.
However, in the interest of being dumb, Penn State, if you look at Penn State, Oregon, Indiana, and Iowa, they've all played. And they've all been toss-up games.
Yeah, right.
Every one of them.
Coin flips.
Indiana at Oregon, Indiana at Iowa, Penn State, Iowa was, I think it was 25-24. Oregon, Penn State went to double overtime. And then this week we get Oregon, Iowa, and Indiana, Penn State.
Yeah. So
they've all been close. They're like the same team.
And it feels like this one will be close.
This will be close.
I have a hard time picking Iowa because they just...
Well, they're Iowa.
They're Iowa.
That's what I'm saying.
And they're Oregon has been good. Oregon's defense has been good all year. I don't believe in Iowa's offense. They have not had a 300-yard passer in 73 games.
That's not how they win.
I know. But I don't believe with a truly one-dimensional team that they are going to line up and just bully Oregon. I don't believe that's the case. And... yes, I know Oregon's offense didn't look good against Wisconsin. This is a good offensive football team. It just is. And the other one is they do not have a single skilled position player that would play for Oregon. Not a single one. Not a running back, not a quarterback. Their leading receiver has 16 catches for like 129 yards. Mm. And I know they have a couple good backs, but they're not necessarily NFL guys. The only thing they have on that side of the ball, their O-line. Their O-line is really good, and so is Oregon. So when I look at this, I understand that the styles make fights and they're very well disciplined, but ultimately the reason why Iowa loses these games is they are just less talented. So I have a hard time picking the less talented team almost universally across the board. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't win. It doesn't mean that they can't drag Oregon into deep water. But for me to pick this upset, I can't bring myself to do it.
You know what I'm most looking forward to?
What you got?
I am most looking forward to the Kirk Ferentz cowardly punt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you know it's coming.
They will be at Oregon's 47.
Yes.
And it will be 4th and 2.
Yes. And they'll be and like, well, punt.
Here we go. Pin them deep.
And so I'm going to go ahead and predict right now that a cowardly punt will lead to an explosive play for Oregon that is the difference in the game. That's what I'm going to go ahead and predict right now.
I like where that's going.
But against the spread, that's a tough one. I'm with you. I think it's going to be a tough football game. And like you said yesterday, you know, the way Iowa beats you is they limit your possessions.
Yeah.
And make you be really good on when you do have the ball. And so I think Oregon, I don't know. I don't think they're going to hold the ball or have the ball that many times.
No, you're looking at, Iowa wants Oregon to have about 9 to 10 possessions. That is probably their, in fact, if you're being honest, I think they'd probably rather have about 8. But that's, you know, 10 possessions is about what you're looking for. And some of that's like, that, and that's about what happened at Indiana. Remember, one of those, the Indiana's first touchdown came when Indiana got an interception and they only had to go like 2 plays. And then there was like an end of the half one that was a couple and then the safety at the end. So there was only about 7 meaningful possessions that Indiana had. And so when you ask, how does Iowa hold you
that's
down?
It.
That's it.
Right there.
Don't give you the ball 7 times. And they play really good defense. And the other one will be penalties and negative plays.
Special teams, too.
Special teams.
They're good at special teams.
One of the things about playing, you know, when I asked him about the cover 8 in Atlanta, it was like more specific. So they played, basically they played this cover 8 defense where they drop 8 guys into coverage. And normally when you do that, you should be able to run teams out of that. But they're so disciplined and their secondary guys are such good at run fit, even though they're dropping 8 into coverage, they just don't give up big run plays. And so the idea is somewhere along the way, you shoot yourself in the foot. And so Oregon has to be really good about not taking negative plays. And I thought it was interesting that Lanning even said, they kind of bait you into taking like, hey, you got a one-on-one out here, take this shot. And before you know it on first down, you're like, oh, damn it, it's 2nd and 10.
Yep.
Now you're behind the chains and now Iowa's laughing, licking their lips. And so there does need to be a patience there, and that can be hard for guys, especially an offense that's used to being explosive at Oregon. So this may not be the sexiest game for people to watch, but from an X's and O's, if you're like you're a football nerd,
it'll be good.
This is a fun game.
Yeah. So I saw the potential point spread if Oregon and Ohio State were to meet again.
And I just said off the top of my head, I went Ohio State 4.5.
You know, Ohio State is 11-0-1. Against the spread in their last 12 games.
That's pretty good.
So they went on, after losing to Michigan last year, they have been on an absolutely epic run.
Yeah.
Where they have beaten every single team. They have covered every single spread. And of those teams, I think those 12 games, I think 6 of them were top 10.
Yeah. Who didn't they cover?
Well, there was one they pushed.
They pushed? Because Oregon, Oregon was favored in that game, were they not, when they lost last year?
Yes, dude. Iowa
State.
So that
was a cover.
Yeah, that was a cover. They pushed against somebody. It might have been Texas, because didn't Texas score a...
Yeah.
Because they covered late.
Was that 14? Did that end up being 14-10?
Oh, no. I think it was like... I think it ended up being...
Well, look.
This is a good test. I think that final score was 28-14.
In the opener?
No. No, 14-7 this year. I'm talking about last
year's
playoff
game.
Oh, last year.
Sorry.
I think they had a pick 6
okay.
late.
Because this year's game, I believe, was 14-7.
It was 14-7. Well, that might have been the push right there. Were they favored by 7?
I'll take a look-see and see where this is.
Anyway, if Ohio State were to play Oregon in the playoff, the point spread would be, according to oddsmakers, or one oddsmaker... You said 4.5?
I said 4.5.
11.5.
Get right the hell out of town.
Not even kidding.
Really?
That's how the oddsmakers view Oregon v. Ohio State.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Isn't that wild?
And I know what happened in the playoffs last year. You give me Oregon an 11.5, I'll take Oregon in the points.
The thing about Ohio State is they cannot make these spreads high enough.
No.
I mean, they covered again last week, beat Penn State, and I think they were losing or it was close at halftime.
Yeah.
And this week, it's like they're playing Purdue. It's like 30 points. Like, they can't make these spreads high enough.
No.
They just keep covering.
Yeah. looking here. You're right, because the Washington game was a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter. Ended up winning 24-6. I'm trying to think if they've really. No, I mean, the Texas game is the only close game they've played. They've been in games in the fourth quarter, but every one of them outside of that Texas game has ended up basically being a blowout at the end of it. 34-16 against Illinois, 38-14 Penn State, 34-0 Wisconsin. Yeah, they've played in one close game.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the one game that they pushed.
Because it wasn't Texas, so I looked up. They beat Texas by 7, and it was anywhere from 1 to 2.5.
So are you talking about the playoff game?
No, this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, it was 14-7. But what was the score of last year's playoff game? I want to say it was 28-14.
Okay, well, so I was looking at the point spread for this year and what it was.
Not that any of this matters.
No, it doesn't. But
who cares?
I don't know. Basically, what you're saying is Ohio State right now is a juggernaut, which probably means they're going to lose in the postseason.
They did beat Texas 28-14 in the playoff.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure the spread was not 14.
No, zero chance of that.
Let's see what the spread was.
You know, but every
spread was 5.5.
It does feel like every time we get one of these teams that like can't lose, they lose.
Yeah.
I think
Who do you think is the team that is best suited to beat Ohio State?
I don't believe in A&M. I just don't. And this is going to sound like a slight to Texas A&M, and I don't want it to be. Texas A&M easily, and I mean easily, could have 2 to 3 losses. They're undefeated. They're 8-0. They're in the SEC. Dude, give them all the credit in the world. Texas A&M is not the third best team in the country. They're just not.
I have the push.
Whoa, what's the push?
They played Ohio
mm-hmm.
in their third game. Oh, they were... They were favored by 28, and they won by 28. Those odds makers are good.
It is alarming how close they are on those sorts of things. That's interesting.
Does Alabama have...
That's kind of where I want to go with this.
Does Alabama have the corners, like Kirkpatrick, and like do they have corners that can actually cover Smith and Tate?
Yeah. Because, I mean, that may...
But they don't stop the run very well.
But Ohio State doesn't run the ball particularly well. So that's why I was kind of going down with... If you find someone that can play sticky defense, and Alabama's pass rush is kind of getting going there, and Alabama's offense, I do think, can cause Ohio State problems because no one really has this year. If you ask me who I had to pick in a tournament to beat Ohio State, I think I would probably lean towards Alabama.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
All right. Coming up next, in the news.
I love ITN.
Screwed by the government yet again.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
That's next. But first, here is Casey with SportsCenter. All right. It is November 6th, 2025. It is time now for In the News. I'm your noted and humble newsman.
True
Thank
story.
You. Hello. It is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Nachos Day.
Oh, who doesn't love nachos?
God, I love nachos. So good.
So good. I mean,
so good.
Like, I make a nice homemade. That's one of the few things that I think I do well.
You're a solid nacho maker?
Yeah. Like, if I
what do you put on your
if nachos? I'm put in charge of dinner.
You're making nachos?
I don't have a lot of good options, right? I do a decent steak, and it's decent, but I do feel like I make a good nacho. I feel like I take care.
What do you put on it?
In my nacho. Well, I like to start with at least two different sort of tortilla chips.
Okay.
Like, I like to go with, like, maybe a plain tortilla, and then I like to throw in maybe one with a little more spice, like a Juanita's. You do the traditional Juanita's, and then you do, like, the sweet chili Juanita's. Or maybe you throw in like a regular tortilla and then you go with like a Dorito in there. I like to mix it up with my chips. And then I like to do a base of my meat. That's the key. I like to layer my toppings. So I like to do a nice base starting maybe with some nice chorizo. If I'm going down that road, maybe I'll do a little bison under there. And then I like to do my first layer of cheese. And then I'm going to go with my beans. Then I'm going to do another layer of meat. And then my cheese on top, I like to go with like a softer cheese, like either a blue cheese or maybe a gorgonzola. And then I like to do the fresh chopped up bacon. I'm going to throw some chives on there. I'm going to throw some green onion. We're going to do some jalapeno. I take my nachos seriously.
You lost me at beans.
Oh.
I'm out. I can't have beans.
You know, my son doesn't like him, so when he's home, we do half beans, half no beans.
Yeah, I'm out.
Nah, I take my nachos seriously. And again, the key is layers. Especially if you really want to do it, you do layer of chip, layer of meat, layer of chip. So that way you get, you know, because a lot of times then the chip at the bottom gets no topping.
See, I like cheese down at the bottom.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
All layers. Right. And remember, don't stack higher, go wider. Too often we stack nachos like in a mountain. No. You got to go lake. You got to get a big flat pan to go with your nacho. That way you're able to spread everything out. The vertical nacho is right out.
Do the beans not get your chips soggy?
No, we got to dry the beans. You got to strain the beans. You don't put the beans with the wet beans.
You're thinking whole beans, not refried.
Yeah, no. No refried beans. No, that's a black bean or a pinto bean. And the key is, again, you got to make sure that you drain everything out of that. You can't put the wet bean, or you do, you risk wetting the nacho. And also, don't be afraid to crisp everything. You got to get it in the oven and then really get a nice crisp, almost like a burnt cheese element to it. That's the key to a good homemade nacho.
Crusty side cheese.
Exactly. Mm,
I love crusty side cheese.
Yes.
It is also basketball day.
Look, if you ask me
this
which...
This show loves nachos way more than basketball.
If you ask me which one that I was going to be forced to go without, nachos or basketball, I think you know where I'm going.
Well, we're screwed by the government yet again.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
The FAA has ordered Portland and 38 other major airports to cut flights.
10%.
Oh, wait, 39 other...
Yeah.
Airports.
39 of the major airports will have a 10% reduction.
Yeah, 40 total.
It's not good.
No. Just because they can't talk to one another in Congress.
Yeah.
It's a government
shutdown. And a lot of the TSA people at this point just aren't showing up for work because they haven't been paid.
They're missing paychecks.
Have you seen the Houston airport?
No.
My gal has to fly for work next week, and she's going to Houston and Baltimore. Would you care to guess what they are saying the average wait time at the Houston airport is right now?
Wait time for what?
To get through. What they're telling you to get to the Houston airport for your flight.
Meaning like to get through security and stuff?
Yeah. You know, you're supposed to show up for a flight two hours early.
Okay. I'm going to say 5 hours.
5 to 7 hours, depending on what time of the day.
Oh, no.
Yep.
What a mess.
Seven hours in some cases.
My wife's supposed to leave for Detroit tomorrow.
Have fun.
She's sweating bullets.
Yep. It's really rough out there right now.
I have a gambling man idea.
Talk to me.
I was thinking about this today. Why, like if you have like a good points credit card or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you buy some refundable tickets right now with no intent on going and hope one or two get canceled? Because if they get canceled, they said that they're going to, if you don't end up going on the trip, they'll give you money back.
You know,
or they'll give you, like, not money back. You get your money back no matter what.
Vouchers. That's not a...
You know? Because even if they don't get canceled, you can still get your, they're refundable. Yeah. You'd have to pay off your credit card, but you'd have flight vouchers.
Yeah.
Either way.
That's actually not, there's probably a reason why you shouldn't do this, but... To my moronic ass over here, that seems like a brilliant
idea. I can't think
idea.
Of one.
I had a friend,
I just don't know which. So you said 10%.
10%.
Which, I mean, like what 10%? Like how do you calculate?
Well, but that won't be, they will take roots off the board.
But I'm saying like how do you, like if you're doing my gambling man idea, how would you try to pinpoint the ones that they will take off the board?
I don't know. Maybe there's an AI, like an algorithm that you could figure that out. It reminded me of this. I had a friend of mine who will remain nameless. Remember when Biden was talking about canceling up to, I think it was up to like $30,000 worth of college debt?
Yes.
So my buddy's daughter was a junior or a senior in college. So he had her take out a student loan.
Uh-oh.
To the tune, but they didn't touch the money. They just took the money and they just kept it in a side. They didn't need it. But he said, if that loan gets forgiven, because, you know, you don't have to start paying that back.
Yeah, you just keep the money.
You just keep the money, and he'd give it to her as a graduation present. And if they didn't get forgiven, then they just take it, and they pay back the loan in one big lump sum. So he took out, like, $20,000 loan, gambling on the idea that that loan could get canceled out. I actually thought it was kind of genius.
But it didn't.
No. So they just ended up, you know. When she graduated.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
Yeah. When she graduated, they just took that money and just paid everything off. Yeah. But he was like, yeah, it doesn't hurt. It's a 0% loan. You just can't be dumb and touch the money, which is why he didn't let her have it. He kept it. Huh. Just put it in an account.
All right. Well, safe travels, everyone.
Yeah, someone's saying they're prioritizing probably long haul and international flights, canceling the regional stuff. That would make sense.
Yeah, so the smaller, like Boise.
Yeah, you probably, if you're betting on stuff, bet on the, no one's canceling LA to New York.
Right.
Big commerce
flights.
What about
Portland to LA?
Yeah, Portland to LA. Yeah, you want to find the smaller stuff. Ugh. That's what you think of that.
Naked and hit by a patrol car.
That's not good.
Which is worse? Well, we know which is worse.
I'd rather be naked.
But this was a situation that only in Portland, war-torn Portland. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, Washington has a new state sport in the news on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back. I hope you don't have Texas San Antonio tonight.
I do not. I am not Ryan Buckley, so I have not bet on, was it South Florida, Texas San Antonio?
Yeah. It's actually kind of a big game.
This is the sort of thing that Buckley would be all over.
Oh, for sure.
Why is it a big game?
Well, both teams are in the running to be the Group of Five team in the playoff.
Texas San Antonio is? I thought they were having a rough year.
Oh, no, sorry. Not Texas San Antonio. I was thinking North Texas.
I was like, what are you talking about?
But South Florida is.
Okay.
At any rate, South Florida is about to go up 14-0. Mm-hmm. They have a pick six on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
And they have a 95-yard fumble return for a touchdown.
Is it a thick six or was it a little fella running 95 yards?
It was a pick six. It was
pick six.
DB.
Yeah, never mind.
And then the quarterback threw the pick six, and then he just fumbled 95-yard fumble return.
Yeah.
So the quarterback for UTSA having a rough night.
Well, they are 4. As I said, they're 4-4.
Well, that's the same team that was kicking the crap out of Tulane last Thursday.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was Friday. At any rate, this is In the News, November 6, 2025. Hello. Your noted newsman here. Thank you so much. Thank you. Pickleball was invented in the state of Washington. Did you know that?
I had no idea. I've never played pickleball once.
I haven't either. I don't know that I ever will, but never say never.
I mean, look, I'm not opposed to, if I am somewhere and a game of pickle breaks out and someone's like, Sook, paddle, ball, let's. Sure. But I do not see any scenario where I would leave my house to go play pickleball.
1965 was the year. It was created on Bainbridge Island by three families who were looking to entertain their bored kids.
Sounds about right.
And they improvised it on an old badminton court.
I mean, isn't it just tennis with a wiffle ball?
And they use ping pong paddles. Yeah, I don't know. Look, can you imagine, like, you started that in 1965, and it didn't pop until 2025.
Did they get any money out of it, or?
Oh, I don't think so. Isn't that weird, though?
Yeah. I still don't know how that game caught on. Did we just get fat and lazy so we can't play tennis anymore? But we like the idea of racket sports? Or
I think it caught on because it was easier than tennis.
Yeah.
And you could play it more people could play it.
Yeah, the olds can. Because if you've never played tennis and you go out and try to play, it's brutal.
It's maddening. It's much like golf.
Yes.
At any rate.
The question becomes, will we see the pickling of golf?
What do you mean? Oh, you're already starting to see that.
Par threes.
Yeah, par three courses. Or
giant holes.
Frisbee golf.
Yeah, you got frisbee golf. You got soccer golf, too.
Really?
Yeah, where people kick. I don't know. They play on golf courses and they kick. It's like kickball golf or something.
The holes are dug into the ground.
Yeah, and you kick them in.
Because golf is fantastic, but for a lot of people, golf is just too. It's just too frustrating.
Yeah. Well, Washingtonians, you, namely you.
What do we do now?
You have a new option for specialty license plate.
We do.
As they are now celebrating the founding of pickleball.
Oh God!
With a $40 pickleball plate, and it's.
Nah, I'm good.
It's got Rainier in the background, it's blue, and it's got a couple of pickleball paddles and a pickleball, and it says Pickleball State Sport on the bottom of it.
Think about loving pickleball so much that you put it on your license plate. That just...
They're very proud of their pickleball up there.
Who's that for? Like, there are that many people that are like, yeah.
A man who was reportedly running naked with a handgun in Portland's Lloyd District was struck by a patrol car... Shocked with a taser and injured by police Wednesday night.
I like that he got hit by the car and then got up and had to be tased afterwards.
Well, don't they hit nude people with the car because they don't want to put their hands on the...
I don't know exactly that that's the reason why, but I have seen more and more of the cop videos where the person will have a gun and they just get hit with the car. That does seem like that's becoming more and more of a technique.
You think it's just easier for them?
I think so.
They don't want to lay their hands on
their
butts.
Yeah, it's like the safest. Because they're not running them over at like 60. You're just kind of giving them a little bit of a love. Just a little love tap, a little bumper to bumper.
Around 9:42, Portland police said they received multiple reports of a man without clothes running in the area of Northeast Hazelow Street. When officers arrived, the man was no longer there. After searching the area, they found him near Northeast Grand and Multnomah Street. They reported hearing a gunshot before the man, who has not been identified, began running south. An officer driving a patrol car struck the man in his vehicle, knocking him down, causing him to drop his weapon. He got up and continued running until he encountered other officers. They say he was shockingly uncooperative, and they tased him.
Well, look, I give the guy credit for taking he bounced off probably a Ford Explorer and kept going, but... You know, it does seem like a very effective way to end a confrontation is to just hit the guy with the car. It's better than shooting him, right?
Yeah, you don't want to shoot him.
I mean, not if you can help it. What sort of meth was that guy on?
Yeah, no kidding. Bath salts.
Yeah. No one has ever been wandering the street nude and been okay. That's never a... Late night nudity is not a... I've just decided to go for a casual stroll with my dong out. That's never happened.
Do you ever see stories like this and kind of go, God, I hope I don't know them.
No.
Dad?
Really?
Is that you?
That has never once crossed my mind.
Well, I mean, little Schultz's out there, he's having a couple days off. And
he's out naked.
Hopefully not. I just
run over?
Yeah, I worry sometimes.
I've never... Have you ever had someone that you know been in a big story like that? That would be new to me.
No, but I just,
Yeah.
You know how it is.
It would be.
You always check the names.
It would be surreal.
You always look at the mugshots. You're like, oh.
Hey, sex offender list. That happened once. I knew someone. It was the brother of a guy I knew. And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. You know where you do you can type in your address and it, kicks people out? We were scanning that one day, and I was like, and I called him. I was like, hey, are you aware? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you. But
it's like, holy God. And they kind of gave me the lowdown. I was like, oops.
Yeah, if you ever go to those websites where it shows where the registered sex offenders are, you will be shocked at how many of them are right around you.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
And in this case, someone that you know. You're like, hey, I know that guy.
So don't let your kids ever go outside, ever.
Just keep them indoors.
They hide in the bushes, that is in the news, November 6, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Let's get to a little college football today. Today is the anniversary of the very first college football game.
Is it really?
Did you know that?
I
156 years ago.
Yale and I don't know.
So. You're close. Okay. You're close. But we also have some juicy college carousel, college football coaching carousel.
Yeah.
Rumors.
Including some with the Beavs.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get to all that. Coming up next hour here on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.